the forest coffees are also owned by either smallholder farmers or companies. So okay. It's not that they just go in the forest and anyone can walk in, but it is managed as a property of this person or that right. company or the surrounding community.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Leah Safar, and this is episode one of a brand new series with Sara Yorga from Ethiopia. Sara, welcome to the podcast for the first time.
Thank you for having me, Lee. Thank you so much.
It is a deep, deep honor for me to have you on the podcast. This year, I'm committed to speaking to more people at Origin. And you are in Ethiopia. You are deeply knowledgeable about what's going on in Ethiopia. And I want our listeners at Mapper Forward to start getting an understanding or a deeper understanding of how the supply chain works in Ethiopia. So through this series, we're going to specifically be focusing on the theme, the sustainability of coffee in Ethiopia, because coffee sustainability all over the world is being disrupted for a number of reasons. Last week on the podcast, we had Fabricio Andrade from Brazil, and he was talking about how the volatility in the supply chain is mostly being caused by two factors, climate change and labor. And so here, I want to get more specific and talk about what's causing or how is sustainability looking in Ethiopia. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about kind of the landscape of who the stakeholders are in the supply chain in Ethiopia. But before we do that, I would love for you to introduce yourself to our audience and tell us who you are and what you do. And is it Ya Coffee or YA Coffee? YA
Both
Coffee?
Applies. Both. Don't worry.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Tell us about you, Sara.
I'm Sara Irga. I am based in Ethiopia. Me and my husband started YA Coffee or Ya Coffee Roasters over 10 years ago. A small artisan coffee roasting company that ambitiously planned to export roasted coffee to all over the world, but starting from Africa. Africa was our initial idea, actually. So, and also a small cafe that caters to people with understanding of quality of coffee. Kind of a high-end, but not really high-end, because if we put the price really high, and then we might not get the opportunity to educate our customers. So, a good, cozy, small coffee shop with books and busiest street in Addis, and of course the kind of the high end street in Addis. Other than that, I'm a woman in coffee, one of the founders of the association in Ethiopia, which is a chapter to the Global Alliance IWC. That should be enough for now.
That should be enough for now. We will learn more about you as we move along. Yet another humble woman in coffee. We are recording this on International Women's Day. So happy International Women's Day to you and to all the women in coffee. This is an industry that is built off the backs of mostly women who pick coffee.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we salute all the women across the supply chain who make coffee possible. In this episode, we want to start understanding who are the stakeholders in coffee in Ethiopia. So over to you. Tell us who they are.
Stakeholders. Major stakeholders are the producers. Right. We can start from there. Because majority of our coffee is produced by smallholder farmers. Yeah. They could be female households or male households, but smallholder farmers, which means starting from 2 hectares of land. So coffee being a social drink in Ethiopia, I can also grow coffee in my backyard. Like, it is something we enjoy as a drink, and it is something that connects us, that gives us the platform to talk about our issues. It could be good, bad, wedding, new baby, funerals. They know the diversity of the events. Life events involve coffee. If you go to a big wedding, there is always big setup of traditional coffee on one corner or the other. If you're going to a funeral, that's like we make coffee the whole day. Like if you are going to comfort the family, if they lose someone, loved ones, you just take coffee, make coffee, sit down, enjoy with some snack. So coffee is our, like, it just builds our social fabric. Somehow it connects us closer, and we drink coffee not to just enjoy a cup of coffee, but to connect. And let me give you the reason where it started. Me and my husband usually talk about it. In the old times, when men go farming, usually women stay at home, So when they stay at home, let's say they cook, they whatever they have to do in the household, they do. And one of the major activities during the day is making coffee and enjoying it with their neighbor. So if I have, let's say, 5-6 neighbors in my area, it could be my turn this morning to just, you know, start from scratch, roast the coffee, grind it, brew, and invite everyone to come. That's how we used to deal with our social issues. Like, let's say if the husband is not, you know, a good husband, the only people that know are those neighbors, my friends. I say, like, okay, my husband is giving me a hard time. Oh, my older son is, you know, is not good at school, or maybe he's not getting married soon. You know, issues like that. Whatever we have to discuss. And with women talking about their issues, their problems, or their happy moments, someone to share with, you know, whatever moment in life, when it's shared, it is, you know, the burden is halved. That's how we say. I mean, we look at coffee. So it happens around coffee. It happens around coffee. And
so you have a local drinking culture, right? Like it's a well-established. Do you drink them in cafes as well?
Cafe culture, it has been here for over 75 years in Ethiopia, I think, if I'm not wrong. Cafe culture is one thing. Like even when we were young, that's what we do. Like if you grow up, and start, you know, having fun with your friends, you don't go to a bar. You go to a coffee shop. And macchiato is the one thing you're going to enjoy anyways. Because tea, you'll have it at home. Why would you want to have tea? But macchiato with all that sugar and milk and some pastry. That's, as a young girl, that's how I remember my fun moments with my
friends.
Yes. But for the general public, again, it is something that is so valuable. It's a lifestyle. I can conclude that coffee is a lifestyle in Ethiopia. It's not even something we consider a commodity first. We consider it a lifestyle, then it is a commodity. It's a commodity for the economy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a commodity for what it brings at the hard currency, because, of course, we understand the almost 30% of our economy is from coffee. It supports, the economy in such a big way. But it does more good, again, as a lifestyle in Ethiopia.
Right.
So we are the biggest drinkers of our own coffee.
Which is fantastic. I want to ask you, I have an understanding that when we talk about producers as a stakeholder, there's two different ways that coffee is produced in Ethiopia on a general scale. My understanding is that there are established farms that grow coffee and pick cherry, and that's one way. And the other way is through agroforestry, where people can go in, pick the cherry, and then take it, and everyone from there would either take it somewhere for the coffee to be processed. Am I understanding that correctly?
I would like to put it like this.
Okay.
There are established farms, of course, commercial, you mean commercial farms that are owned by companies. Yes, we have those. There are not many, but we have those. And it's growing these days because people now are understanding the need for commercial farms and companies investing on the surrounding producers, like outgrowers. The forest coffees are also owned by either smallholder farmers or companies. So it's not that they just go in the forest and anyone can walk in, but it is managed as a property of this person or that company or the surrounding community. So yes, that's how we produce coffee. We have forest coffee, shade grown coffee, or coffee in the open, like in the no shade areas, which is mainly commercial, because smallholder farmers grow other products also, especially if you go to the south, banana trees are one type of trees that grow around coffee farms. Usually there is corn, sorghum in those areas, and some fruits like lemon trees, lime trees, orange trees, mango trees. So it depends where that is, or spice trees. Mm-hmm. People that produce spice, also, I mean, regions that produce spice, they also produce coffee. So yeah, it depends on the topography, the region where coffee grows. That's either forest coffee or shade grown coffee, or smallholder farmers usually have sheds also in their
barn. So we have one part of stakeholders that are the producers. Who are the other stakeholders in the coffee value chain?
Whilst it's harvested, of course, there is this group of labor force that comes in. I consider them stakeholders, because they really contribute to the quality of the coffee by way of, you know, either they pick the ready or the good cherries, or either they choose to rip everything down. So they're stakeholders. If then you go to collection centers, where there are smaller collection centers that suppliers collect coffee from producers and take them to, let's say, a washing station, a drying station, which is usually side by side. Those are the collection centers. It used to be managed by brokers. Now they are officially organized as suppliers that are collecting coffee from producers from the same region, labeling them and processing them. So that if they don't have a processing site, the suppliers will take it to a processing site, which is owned by another company. So those are other stakeholders in the value chain. Then the processing sites are other stakeholders. Once it's processed, then the logistics follows, the warehousing management, that's managed by processing sites. Usually cooperative unions are other collection agents, because most producers in certain regions supply their coffees to cooperative unions. So other than the individual suppliers, there are cooperative unions. So suppliers also might collect coffees and supply to the cooperative unions. So the value chain is extended somehow.
Right.
Then the cooperative unions, they can directly export. And the new reform, even the producers can export if they have the market linkage, if they have the communication skill, if they have the export knowledge, they can export directly. Otherwise, the suppliers also can export, or either supply to an exporter. So that's the chain. I can buy directly from a farmer as a coffee roaster, roast and export. I can buy also from a supplier, roast and export. I can buy from a cooperative, roast and export. So I have so many means to do this. So the value chain is kind of long. Then major stakeholders in this are the Ethiopian Commodity Exchange, the Ethiopian Coffee and Tea Authority, which has the authority and the regulatory power for coffee from farm to cup. Then there are, this is the green coffee part of it, but if it is roasted, there are roasters like me are other stakeholders. Then I call them consultants and educators. One is me. There are consultants that quality control team, Q graders. You can name them anything, but there are professionals that are doing the job of quality assurance before the coffee gets exported, whether roasted or green. And there are specialty coffee exporters that are like kind of exclusive that do only specialty coffee for the market, for the global market. Those are other stakeholders. Specialty coffee professionals like me and Q professionals, and that's another pool. You can go to the national bank that gives you the permit to export. You can go to your own bank, my own bank that I receive my money with. Banks, so financial institutions are, especially National Bank is the major stakeholder. The customs, the cargo, the shipping lines. So it goes all the way to
the boat,
the transactional aspect of it. But again, there are also development partners like TechnoServe, GIZ, the Spanish Corporation, USAID, that are doing the closing the gap, working towards improving skills, knowledge, technology, market linkage, and related. So development partners are major stakeholders in this. Higher institutions like Jinmei University, which is the research university from more than 50 years ago, that is producing, like working on special improved varieties that could resist disease, that supports as an extension, supports producers surrounding that area, because Jinmei is one of the biggest producers in Ethiopia, in Oromia region mainly. Then higher institutions like Dilla University, that I am a board member of, that is doing an amazing job in education, because they're doing master's class in coffee economics and science.
Wow.
Now, and in the near future, yesterday we were on a fundraising symposium that they're going to build an institution for coffee research in the Yirgaj Afe area. So higher institutions are also major stakeholders in coffee. In addition to that, that's the Ministry of Agriculture, because coffee is an agricultural product. The Ministry of Trade and what do they call it? It has another name. And Ministry of Industry for the manufacturers, for roasters like us. The industry minister plays a big role. The Ministry of Trade is the one facilitating trade, international expos, and the like. Chamber of Commerce, like the Ethiopian Chamber of Commerce, the Addis Ababa Chamber of Commerce. Coffee touches everything in Ethiopia. So these are some of the major stakeholders, I can say. Then associations like us, Ethiopian Women in Coffee Association, the national now, an umbrella association, national Ethiopian National Coffee Association, that is within it has Ethiopian Women in Coffee, Ethiopian Coffee Growers and Exporters Association, suppliers associations from different regions. We're inviting the Roasters Association and other associations to join, and so that we have a strong voice in the sector and push forward an agenda that could benefit the industry in general. So this is kind of an overview of the stakeholders in the coffee sector.
Which sets us up perfectly for our next episode, where we're going to talk about longevity of coffee producers in the supply chain. Now that we have a map, an overview of how it is, and now that we understand how deeply coffee reaches into every element of the Ethiopian culture, whether it be everyday social culture or business culture. Let's take a look at the longevity, because it's not all roses for producers and their families in Ethiopia, but we're going to take a look at how we can understand what the longevity looks like. So join us for the next episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.